Good morning. It's Dave Weiner. It's 10 a.m. on Tuesday, September 28th, 2004. Oh, boy. I'm getting... it's getting easier for me to just... If I have something complicated I want to say, it's getting easier just to pop up a little recording window and upload something. And, you know, I don't know if it's optimal. It's funny because as I was listening to the one-hour daily source code yesterday, Adam Curry's daily source boy, my mouth doesn't work today, Dave. Anyway, listening to Adam Curry's daily source code, it was an hour long, and Adam was just getting all this great, great, great material, and I was just thinking, boy, I can't listen to anything. This is my max. I mean, I had to extend my daily walk a little bit so that I could catch all of that and get started on listening to the Joel Spolsky interview over at IT Conversations. Barely got started with that and then had to get to work on the Frontier open source release. So I'll try to make this short. I know that you all don't have a lot of time to listen to this. But there was more news today than just the Frontier Open Source release. The Bloglines people introduced, and I could swear this was a reintroduction because I think I had seen this before, their Bloglines API. And the I think it was a re-release and a recast of this in the context of you know, the supposed bandwidth limits that we're hitting with RSS. There are just so many better ways to deal with it. And then the way Bloglines would like us to deal with it here. Not only that, when I read their press release, I really thought they were doing something more generous. And they're actually, I mean, they want to monetize the users of everybody else's aggregator. And I guess... I don't know why these aggregator developers, two of them, NetNewsWire and FeedDemon, went for the deal. And basically, the strategy Bloglines is pursuing is absolutely transparent. What they want to be is the single place you go to subscribe. In other words, you know, yesterday I did that story about Yahoo and their graphic that says click here to subscribe to this thing in Yahoo. Well, Bloglines has something like that too. And what they want to do is manage all your subscriptions, and I think they figure that if you use them to manage your subscriptions, that eventually they'll get you as a user of all of their services. And so, in a sense, why, you know, NetNewsWire and FeedDemon want to turn their customers over? Well, maybe they don't look at it that way. Maybe they think they can get more customers. I mean, there's a flip side to it. They can say, okay, well, I should explain perhaps how this works. Basically, they have an API that takes a login, I think probably username and password, and returns back to you all of the feeds that person has subscribed to, and you can also find out which ones of those feeds have updated. And so that way, so if... NetNewsWire checks in with Bloglines. So this is, you know, feed subscription synchronization. What I thought Bloglines was going to do, and this probably is the best solution overall, if this is really the approach we want to take towards optimizing, because there are other approaches. There's like the BitTorrent approach, which I think, well, I know I like it much better because it's decentralized and you know, the question always comes up is, okay, well, what if Bloglines decides that my blog isn't, that they don't want their users subscribing to my blog? I mean, you know, this is the problem with centralization. All of a sudden, you know, there'll be those of us who write for Bloglines and those of us who don't. And, you know, I don't doubt that I will be one of the ones who don't, probably by choice and probably by their choice, too. I mean, you know, a lot of people leave me out of things because I'm not like, I don't like play footsie under the table with these guys. And, you know, like, for example, they don't send me their press releases. I get it from other people. But, you know, blogs were supposed to solve this problem, and blogs do solve this problem. The thing we have to be vigilant about is people going back and adding the things that we worked so hard to get rid of, which is this whole idea of, you know, having one bottleneck place where if they decide they don't like you, then, you know, you don't exist. You know, good example. I mean, you know, O'Reilly doesn't like what I say about them, I guess. Although I really tried to stay out of their way. But, you know, so O'Reilly doesn't like me. That's fine. So I don't get invited to the O'Reilly events. That's not the end of the world. I can still exist, right? But I'm sure if you could peer into their view of the world, you know, they think that the fact that the world doesn't turn to them to authorize every technical innovation is a bug in the rest of the world. Yahoo probably feels the same way all big companies do. I know that we had fun with that when I was at Harvard. You know, we'd say it in a joking way, like, you know, something would pop up on the screen from Yale and somebody would say, why don't those guys give up already? You know, it's sort of, and you know, Harvard is more than a lot of other places, but it's a joke. I mean, you know, so anyway, maybe it's not such a joke, you know, maybe that's sort of like a, you know, a little bit of a lesson there, you know. In any case, the right way to do this is with BitTorrent. And so basically, when I subscribe to a feed, and I get a copy of that feed on my hard drive, then I'm immediately available to serve that feed. And so that we spread the load out. And so that if there a feed is really popular, like let's say 100 million people subscribe to this feed, well, that means that you have some fraction of 100 million people that are prepared to serve it. And so the original source, things just percolate. And it's kind of the way, you know, these peer-to-peer networks work. In this case, you know, we're sharing our own content. And so, you know, it takes a little bit of forethought. Perhaps all of these things require a little bit of investment. And that's sort of been the hang-up. And that's why, you know, these companies come in and say, well, in return for our investment, we want to own all your data. That's not a good deal for everybody. You know, for a little bit of investment, you're entitled to a little bit of return, but you're not entitled to ownership of my data or my subscription lists. If I want my subscription lists, they're mine, and I can have them, and I don't have to come to you to get them. That's the problem with BlogLine's approach, is that I don't want to be a user of BlogLine's. Anything that requires me to become a member and store my data on their servers requires me to do that. It's one thing to allow me to do it. It's another thing to require me to do it. The requirement part scotches the whole deal as far as I'm concerned. I won't use it, and I won't recommend it to other people either. So whatever solutions can we come up with needs to have that feature, which is I'm not required to use your server. I have choice. I'm allowed to store it wherever I want to, and then everything should still work. This should be one of the core values of the web, I think, and hopefully we can talk about this at the BloggerCon session that Mary Hodder is leading about the core values of the web. Anyway, another approach, which is not as good as the BitTorrent approach, but perhaps a little bit more immediately implementable and certainly preferable to the BlogLine's approach, is to that weblogs.com, the changes.xml file for weblogs.com, already gives you a pretty good idea of which blogs have changed. And, you know, from there you could do the auto-discovery on the feeds that are in, on the sites that are in there, and find the feeds, and then produce the equivalent, you know, rsschanges.xml, which would list all the feeds that have changed. And what an aggregator would do before doing its hourly scan would be to read that file, and then see if the things, whatever, you know, whatever sources are in that file that have been noted as changed since the last time they scanned, then those are the ones to read. The problem with that, of course, is that maybe not everything that you read is in there. And maybe they use a different ping service, because there are others. Technoradia offers one, bol.gs offers one, and However, if you go back and look a couple of years ago, we proposed, or I'm sorry, I'm not using the royal we, I proposed a way for a feed to tell you which ping service to go to look to see if they've changed. And so that way you don't have to use weblogs.com, and maybe you'll read maybe 4 or 5 or 20 of these as the web grows, 20 of these changes.xmls, and that will be enough. And whoever operates that, of course, is going to be paying some big bucks in bandwidth and should be compensated for that. But again, not compensated in the form of control, just compensated in the form of money, you know, which is doesn't have to be a lot of money because they're not spending a lot of money. You know, so again, we're having the same discussion. We will be keep having the same discussion on the web probably for as long as we have a web, which is, you know, draw a picture of this, and you've got sort of a commons, sort of like, you know, if you can imagine a little park in the center of a city, and maybe not a big park, a little one, and everybody comes and has picnics there, or you go for a swim in the lake, or you sit there on a nice sunny day and read your book. And it all works as long as people do that and pick up your own garbage, and you don't like go to the bathroom on the lawn, you use the restrooms, and you follow certain rules of behavior, just common sense, you know, and everything kind of works, you know. You can have a rally there if you want, as long as you clean it up and as long as you aren't, you know, don't spoil it for everybody else. You're allowed to use the commons. What you're not allowed to do is put a fence around the commons and put a gate on it and start charging people for admission to it. Because then it's no longer, I mean, then it's not a commons. You might as well go ahead and just, you know, put a building on it and forget about, you know, eating your lunch and on a nice sunny day, reading a book, watching the geese and the ducks swim around in the pond. You know, commons are what make the internet work. And, you know, a lot of people look at those commons and they imagine owning them, and they write business plans that say they will own them. And then the rest of us have to tell them no and not be cynical about it. Because that's the other thing is people say, well, you know, they need to make some money, you know, so therefore they have to make something proprietary. And my answer to them is, well, when we started doing RSS, we didn't do that. We didn't say, you know, we have to make some money every time you use RSS. We said we'll make our money other ways or we won't make money at all. And that's why RSS is a commons, and that's why it works. And it's not fair for people who come in later to start telling us about how they need to make money, because that's not our problem. They may want to make money, and that's fine, but they can't make money off of the stuff that we all share. And in this case, what we don't want is we don't want one individual or one company to decide for us what we can and can't read. If that day ever comes, then we'll just have to reinvent RSS all over again and create some network that exists outside of that. But why would we want to have to go through that again, having done it once? So anyway, those are my thoughts, and same set of principles be applied over and over and over again. Anyway, Dave Weiner signing off for Morning Coffee Notes, September 28th, 2004. Take care. Bye.